This morning we'll take up a consideration of Psalm 46 by Mr. Spurgeon. In preparation for that, if you would first turn in your Bibles, and if you're using the Bibles in front of you that are provided, we're looking at Psalm 37, and you'll find that on pages 466. Psalm 37. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. And then if you would turn to the fourth chapter of Philippians, and again in your church Bible, it is on page 982. Beginning with the fourth verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then if you will turn to our text for this morning, Psalm 46, and that's on page 471 of your church Bible. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let us now turn to prayer as we prepare our hearts for this reading. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you have brought us together that we might worship you this morning. We pray that we would turn our hearts from the cares of the world unto your word. We pray, Lord, that as your word is sought to be opened, that we would apply it to our hearts and apply it to our actions in the coming days. We ask now that you would be with us and grant us your peace. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, what I'd like to do is a reading from one of Mr. Spurgeon's sermons on Psalm 46. As we step through it, God is our refuge and strength, not our armies or our fortresses. Israel's boast is in Jehovah, the only living and true God. Others talked of their impregnable castles built, placed on inaccessible rocks and secured with gates of iron. But God is a far better refuge from distress than all of these. When the time comes to carry the war into the enemy's territories, the Lord stands his people in better stead than all the valor of armies. Soldiers of the cross, remember this and count yourselves safe. Make yourself strong in God. Forget not the personal possessive word, our. Make sure each one of your portion in God that you may say, he is my refuge and strength. Never forget the fact that God is our refuge just now in the immediate present. God alone is our all in all. All other refuges are refuges of lies. All other strength is weakness. For power belongs to God. But as God is all sufficient, our defense and might are equal to all emergencies. A very pleasant present help in trouble. He has been tried and proved by his people. He never withdraws himself from his afflicted. He is their help, truly, effectually, constantly. He is present or near them, close at their side, ready to help. He is more present than any friend or relative can be, more near than even the trouble itself. To all this comfortable truth is added the consideration that his assistance comes at the needed time. He is not, as the swallows leave us in the winter, he is a friend in need, and a friend indeed. When it is very dark with us, let brave spirits say, come, let us sing the 46th Psalm. Therefore, how fond the psalmist is of therefores. His poetry is no poetic rapture without reason. It is as logical as a mathematical equation. The next words are a necessary inference from these. We will not fear. With God on our side, how irrational would fear be? Where he is, all power is, and all love. Why, therefore, should we quail? It has been said we should be afraid of being afraid, lest we, as the Puritans would say, vex the Holy Spirit with foolish distrust. Though the earth gives way, though the basis of all visible things should be entirely changed, though the mountains be moved into the midst of the sea, though the firmest of created objects should fall to headlong ruin and be submerged in utter destruction, the two phrases set forth the most terrible movements within the range of imagination. They include the overthrow of dynasties, the destruction of nations, the persecutions of the church, and whatever else may at any time try the faith of believers. Let the worst come to the worst, the child of God should never give way to mistrust, since God remains faithful, and there can be no danger to his cause or people. For our refuge shall preserve us from all evil. Our strength shall prepare us for all good. Though the waters roar and foam, when all things are excited to fury and reveal their utmost power to disturb, faith smiles serenely. She is not afraid of noise or even of real force, for she knows that God stills the raging of the sea and holds the waves in the palm of his hand. Though the mountains tremble at its swelling, the Alps and the Andes may shake, but faith rests on a firmer basis. It is not to be moved by swelling seas. Evil may ferment, wrath may boil, pride may foam, but the brave heart of holy confidence does not shake. Great men who are like mountains may quake for fear in times of great calamity, but the man whose trust is in God never needs to be dismayed. As we step through the psalm, we see the next command, Selah. We should note this musical command, for we are in no hurry, but can sit down and wait. While the earth dissolves, the mountains rock, the oceans roar. Ours is not a headlong rashness which passes for courage. We can calmly confront the danger. The pause is not an exclamation of dismay, but merely a rest in the music. We do not suspend our song in alarm, but retune our harps with deliberation amongst the tumult of the storm. It were well if all of us could say Selah under tempestuous trials and not mar the melody of our life song. There is a river, divine grace, like a smoothly flowing, full, and never-failing river, yields refreshment and consolation to believers. This is the river of the water of life, of which the church above, as well as the church below, partakes evermore. It is no boisterous ocean, but a placid stream. It follows its serene course without disturbance. Happy are they who know from their experience that there is such a river of God, whose streams make glad the city of God, by assuring the citizens that Zion's Lord will unfailingly supply all their needs. The streams are not transient, nor muddy, nor treacherous with white water. They are cool, clear, fresh, abundant, and gladdening. The great fear of any eastern city in time of war was that the water supply would be cut off during a siege, and if they were secured, the city could hold out against attacks for extended periods of time. In this verse, Jerusalem, which represents the church of God, is described as well supplied with water, to set forth the fact that in seasons of trial, all-sufficient grace will be given to enable us to endure it to the end. The church is like a well-ordered city, surrounded with mighty walls of truth and justice, well-garrisoned, built and adorned by infinite wisdom. The saints enjoy great privileges, for they live in the smile of the king. And as a great river is the very making and mainstay of a town, so is the broad river of everlasting love and grace their joy and happiness. The church is peculiarly the city of God, of his designing, building, election, purchasing, and indwelling. It is dedicated to his praise and glorified by his presence, the holy habitations of the Most High. This was the peculiar glory of Jerusalem, that the Lord within her walls had a place where he revealed himself. And this is the choice privilege of the saints, concerning which we may cry with wonder. How is it, Lord, that you will show yourself to us and not unto the world? To be a temple for the Holy Ghost is the delightful portion of each saint. To be the living temple for our Lord God is also the high honor of the church in her corporate capacity. Our God is here called by a worthy title, indicating his power, majesty, and excellence. We have not a great God in nature and a little God in grace. No. The church contains as clear and convincing a revelation of God as the works of nature. God is in the midst of her. His help is therefore sure and near. Is she besieged, then he is himself besieged within her, and we may be certain that he will break forth upon his enemies. How near is the Lord to the distresses of his saints, since he lives in their midst? Let us take heed that we do not grieve him. She shall not be moved. How can she be moved unless her enemies move the Lord also? His presence renders all hope of capturing and demolishing the city utterly ridiculous. The Lord is in the vessel, and she cannot therefore be wrecked. God shall help her. With her, he will furnish rich supplies, and outside her walls, he will lay her foes down. When morning dawns, as soon as the first ray of light proclaims the coming day, at the dawning of the morning, God's right arm will be outstretched for his people. The Lord is always. We are slow to meet him, but he is never tardy in helping us. Impatience complains of divine delays, but in every act, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Man's haste is often folly, but God's apparent delays are ever wise, and when rightly viewed, are not delays at all. Today, the bands of evil may surround the church of God and threaten her with destruction, but soon they will pass away like the foam on the waters, and the noise of their shouts will be silent in the grave. The darkest hour of the night is just before the turning of the morning, and then, even then, shall the Lord appear as the great ally of his church. The nations raged. The nations were in a furious uproar as they gathered against the city of the Lord like wolves ravenous for their prey. They foamed and roared and swelled like an angry sea. The kingdoms totter. A great confusion seized upon society. Governments fell like trees driven before a storm. Powerful empires like pines uprooted by the blast. Everything was in disorder, and dismay seizes on all who do not know the Lord. He utters his voice, the earth melts. With no other means than a word, the Lord ruled the storm. He gave forth a voice, and brave hearts dissolved, proud armies destroyed, conquering powers were defeated. At first, the confusion appeared to be worse when divine power came into view. The very earth seemed to turn to wax, and the most solid and substantial of human beings melted, but peace followed. The rage of man subsided. Hearts capable of repentance relented, and the implacable were silenced. How mighty is a word from God! Oh, that such a word would come from the excellent glory even now to melt the hearts in love to Jesus, and to end forever all the persecutions, wars, and rebellions of men. The Lord of hosts is with us. This is the reason for the church's security and for the overthrow of her foes. The Lord rules the angels, the stars, the elements, and all the hosts of heaven. The armies of men, though they do not know it, are made to bow to his will. This general of the forces, the admiral of the seas, is on our side, our ally. Woe to those who fight against him, for they shall pass like smoke before the wind, and he gives the word to scatter them. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Jehovah of hosts, Jacob's God, is our high place of defense. Again, we come to the word Selah. We do well to remember and meditate on the glorious truths that we have been looking at. Come, behold the works of the Lord. The joyful citizens of Jerusalem are invited to come and see the power of Jehovah and the victory which he has won for his people. It were well if we also carefully noted the providential dealings of our covenant-keeping God, and we're quick to perceive his hand in the battles of the church. Whenever we read history, it should be with this verse thundering in our ears. We should read the newspaper in the same spirit to see how the head of the church rules the nations for his people's good, how he has brought desolations on the earth, the destroyers he destroys. How forcible is the verse at this point? The ruined cities of the Middle East are our instructors. The tables of stone record the doings of the Lord. In every place where his cause and crown have been disregarded, ruin has followed. Sin has been a blight on nations and left their palaces to lie in heaps. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. His voice quiets the tumult of war and calls for the silence of peace. However remote and barbarous the enemy, he awes the people into rest. He crushes the mighty powers till they cannot provoke conflict again. He gives his people profound rest. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. All types of weapons he piles heaps on heaps and utterly destroys them. How glorious the ultimate victory of Jesus will be in the day of his appearing, when every enemy shall bow. Be still and know that I am God. This is one of my favorite verses that has been given to us, and it's brought great comfort over the years. And we're reminded to sit down and wait in patience as believers. Acknowledge that Jehovah is God. Adore him and him only, you who take in the protections of his grace. Since none can worthily claim his nature, let expressive silence be his praise. The boasts of the ungodly and the fretful forebodings of saints should certainly be hushed by a sight of what the Lord has done in past ages. I will be exalted among the nations. They forget God, they worship idols, but Jehovah will yet be honored by them. The prospect of missions are bright, bright as the promises of God. Listen to what the Kirklands tell us about the refugees in the Middle East coming to know the Lord as they move through Europe. Listen to the advances that are made by the Wycliffe Associates as they translate the word. Hear the witness from organizations such as the Voice of the Martyrs to the power that the Lord gives his people. Let no one's heart fail him. The solemn declarations of this verse must be fulfilled. I will be exalted in the earth. Either by terror or love, God will subdue all the hearts to himself. The whole round earth shall reflect the light of his majesty, all the more because of the sin and stubbornness and the pride of man shall God be glorified when grace reigns into eternal life in all the corners of the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. It was meant to sing this twice over. It is a truth of which no believer wearies, yet it is a fact too often forgotten. It is a precious privilege that cannot be too often considered. Is the Lord on your side? Is Emmanuel, God with us, your Redeemer? Is there a covenant between you and God as between God and Jacob? If so, happy are you. Show your joy in holy song and in times of trouble. Continue to rejoice in our sovereign Lord who rules over all. Amen. We could turn now to your hymn number 531.